Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty ever-living God, who assumed the Immaculate Virgin Mary, the mother of your Son, body and soul into heavenly glory, grant, we pray, that always attentive to the things that are above, we may marry to be sharers of her glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm. The Assumption is one of the principal feasts of the church year. It's one of my favorites, frankly, and there's two reasons for it. The first is because I think it makes the mystery of the Blessed Virgin's life much more tangible and direct for us, right? Mary is often, the way we talk about her is often as sort of the great exception to human life. So yeah, she's one of us, but also like she had God in her belly for a while. And so this is a whole different kind of an animal than we are or something, right? And what the Assumption shows us is really that she's the great exemplar. That what Mary reveals to us is what we're all called to be, and if we're faithful, destined to be in Christ. The other reason that I really appreciate the feast is because I think that the dogma of the Assumption and the principles sort of undergirding it, they really show well how Catholic theology works, that we don't just invent things out of whole cloth. It's not simply a matter of responding to Protestant objections, but that the Church the church has a way of thinking through her doctrine, and that the way that that develops makes things more clear, not less clear.
Excellent. Father, why we call solemnity first, and secondly, is a mandatory celebration for the Catholics as well.
Right. So solemnity in the current sort of reckoning, there are sort of three grades of feast. So most days of the church year are called ferial days or just regular days. Weekdays, except weekday gets complicated in English because Saturday is a weekday, even though we tend to think of it as a weekend. And then apart from weekdays, you have Sundays, which are obviously on Sunday, Sundays of the year, and then Sundays of the seasons. And then you have three grades of feast. The lowest are memorials. Those are kind of the ordinary ones. Most of the saints that are on the calendar have a memorial, either obligatory or optional. And that varies from place to place based on the local devotion to a particular saint. Then you have feasts proper. There are fewer of those, and those are typically tied to events in the life of Our Lord or Our Lady or for saints that have real universal sort of appeal and recognition. And then you have solemnities. Solemnities are the highest grade, and they're like a Sunday. Liturgically, they're like a Sunday. And in most parts of the world, they're holy days of obligation, or at least most of them are. The bishops have some latitude in choosing how that works. But they're really meant to be the principal festival days of the church year when all Christians should really be doing something to commemorate the feast.
Without pretend to create any kind of a misunderstanding, why the word Assumption versus Ascension, and some of our brothers, non-Christian mm-hmm. Catholic denomination, deliberately call this is a confusion?
Yeah, that's right. So the verbs assumere and ascensere, first in Latin and then later in English, obviously, though this works in Greek too. We use different words because I ascend, like if I go up the stairs, uh-huh. I ascend the stairs by my own power. Whereas when I assume, the thing which is being assumed is passive to the one who's doing the assuming. Right. Okay. And so the Lord ascends into heaven. That is, he goes up to heaven of his own power as God. Mary is assumed. She's in this way passive to the process. She's brought up by God's own power. So this doesn't deify Mary. This doesn't make Mary into like a mini God or something like that.
Because sometimes we are easy to judge that is only merit by Mary himself and not by God that calling her from earth to the heaven.
Yeah, the church's theology of merit, I think, often confuses especially a certain kind of Protestant who is under the impression that that because we do believe merit is possible in the life of grace, so once we've been sanctified, that the things that we do have supernatural impact and power, it can make it look like, well, Mary was just better behaved than everybody else, and because she got kind of a high score in the video game of life, then she gets the most rewards or something like that.
Right.
And that's not what we're saying. That is decidedly not what we're saying. But that is the impression that I have when talking to people that object to this. This is what I think they think is happening. Instead, what we're saying is, because God selected Mary for such a privileged, special, singular role in the history of salvation, she receives, there are consequences to that kind of privilege, right? And one of those consequences is that her body, which was immaculately preserved from sin, should be preserved from the consequences of sin, namely the corruption of death.
This is a very eloquent explanation. And especially for us as a Catholics, it's a tremendous celebration, eloquent celebration about the Blessed Virgin Mary and motherhood as well. Just a curious date about this. My parents was married in
on the Assumption
of August, 15th of August, the day of the Assumption.
That's beautiful.
54 years.
That's a wonderful day to get married.
Absolutely. What about the theological celebration itself?
Mm-hmm.
So we have in this solemnity certain devotion as well. In some part of our country, we have also First Communions.
Yep.
First Communion for this day, no?
Yep. First Communions are very common in certain parts of the world on the Feast of the Assumption. It's also a traditional day for blessing herbs. So the herb harvest, kind of the second round harvest at the end of the summer, would often come in now. And so it's still in our books, right? A special blessing for herbs and spices that happen on this day. All of these are ways that historically the church has simply kept feasts. We mark these as special days. There's special foods, special songs, special clothes, maybe processions or veneration of images, right? And all of this is really just intended to stir our devotion so that we would grow closer in devotion to the Blessed Mother and love of her divine Son.
Iowa Catholic Radio, Be Not Afraid.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, Jerusalem Jones. Join me in Iowa Catholic Radio on the journey of a lifetime with our Footprints of God pilgrimage to the Holy Land, November 11th through the 20th, 2023. We'll visit the Church of Nativity where Jesus was born, Nazareth, where he grew up, and the spot where he performed his first public miracle, the Wedding Church of Cana, where couples will also have an opportunity for the renewal of wedding vows. Full itinerary and pricing details at iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Knights of Columbus, Borman and Pfeiffer Agencies, serving the Catholic families in Iowa. The Knights of Columbus is a fraternal benefit society providing financial security to members and their families, specializing in life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability income insurance, and retirement annuities. And you can reach Knights of Columbus field agent Rob Ryan at 563-689-6801. That's 563-689-6801. Thank you, and God bless.
This is a segment about small Catholic innovations that made a huge impact from the OSV Institute for Catholic Innovation. Long before Wimbledon, a group of Catholic monks in 12th century France were taking a break in their courtyard. I imagine it went something like this. A monk, I'll call him Brother Leo, shouts, "Take this, Brother John." He tosses the ball to Brother John, and Brother John, a little startled, swings his hand, smacks the ball back, yelling, "Take this, Brother Leo." On and on they play until their superior comes marching out, yelling, "What are you two doing?" Brother Leo replies, "It was just a game of take this." But in French, the word for take this is tenez. So that may not be the actual story, but you can thank Catholic Innovation for tennis. Learn more about what OSV Institute is doing to inspire and encourage Catholic innovation at osvinstitute.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Established in Des Moines in 1924, St. Vincent de Paul assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient by helping to remove roadblocks on their journey out of poverty. St. Vincent de Paul helps with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul, svdpdsm.org.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Related to the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have another great saint, St. Bernard, about and doctor of the church.
Mm-hmm. So, St. Bernard is responsible for the Cistercians. So anybody that's been to either New Mallory or Our Lady of the Mississippi over in the eastern side of the state, they're the spiritual descendants of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Bernard was a was an abbot. He was a really interesting guy. He started life kind of as a playboy and dabbled in law and stuff, but he wanted to make kind of the Marine Corps of the church.
Wow.
So he thought monastic life at the time had gotten too soft, that the monks were too lax. And so he wanted a real strict observance of St. Benedict's rule. And then there was an evangelical component to this too, so that the Cistercians were the ones responsible for much missionary preaching in Western Europe before people like the Norbertines and the Dominicans came on the scene. They were the ones that really they would go out in groups, but it was sort of like monastic preaching bands that would go through and try and stir up devotion.
It's very interesting, you know. St. Bernard is the patron, beekeepers, bees, candle makers, chandlers, wax melters, wax refiners, Gibraltar, Queen's College, Cambridge.
So he's his attachment to bees is not because he was a beekeeper, but because his sort of nickname in the church is the Doctor Mellifluous.
Whoa.
And mellifluous means like a lot of words, but it comes from the melier, right? Honey.
Okay.
So his words were like honey. He was such a renowned preacher that the stories are that mothers would lock up their sons when they found out Bernard was coming to town because he'd preached so eloquently and he was so in love with his monastic life that boys would just flee home to go join the monastery. Sometimes husbands would leave their wives to go join the monastery and then the wives would have to come take them back home.
Wow.
So Bernard was just, he was one of these really charismatic personalities. Somebody in our own day, you know, something like a Father Mike Schmidt or a Father John Ricardo, somebody right. Who was just really winning in their personality.
The proximity with the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all those eloquent discourses and homilies as well, when he acting as a witness of the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is very eloquent for the church as well.
So Bernard's devotion to the Blessed Mother was very earthy, and was very sort of tangible. So there's a famous image when you go to visit Clairvaux, a statue of the Blessed Virgin that's been there. I mean, Bernard, you know, lived in the 11th century, so it's been there for more than 1,000 years. But when he would pass the statue every day, he would bow to the statue and say, "Ave Maria, morning Mary."
Wow.
And one day, the statue spoke back and said, "Ave Bernarde."
Oh, really?
But so, this is the kind of thing. Like his relationship with the Blessed Mother was very ordinary. I mean, it's not normal, but it's very, very ordinary. Like very
cool.
Used, right?
Cool.
The other famous image of Bernard, like if you Googled him, this is probably one of the things that would come up, right? Is a little bit weird for our sensibilities, but I think is worth mentioning just because it's part of the tradition, right? And that is an image of Saint Bernard breastfeeding from the Blessed Mother. And the reason for this is not because, you know, he had some kind of mommy fetish or something, but because he saw Mary as sort of the interpretive key for understanding the scripture. And so it, like a child suckling at the mother's breast, so he would draw on the insights of sacred scripture.
Wow.
And so it's an image that can be a little disturbing for people when they first see it, but it's a genuine, real part of our tradition. And we shouldn't be afraid of images like this because they're really intended to reveal something of the scriptures to us that we're just not seeing right now.
You used the word ordinary and deeply relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Also inspired us, you know, as a Christian, as a priest, to be close and a more familiar, consistent dialogue with the Blessed Virgin Mary. That salute, Ave Maria, Ave Maria. And then the Blessed Virgin Mary said, Avi.
It's funny because in the church in the 20th century especially, right, we shifted in the 70s to a kind of buddy Jesus model of relating to the Lord, which would have been unthinkable for most of Christian history. People wouldn't have dared be that familiar in the language that they used around Jesus. But they absolutely would be that familiar in their language around the Blessed Mother.
Okay.
Ironically, this happens at the same time that devotion to the Blessed Mother in many places just disappears, right? So it's I think, a distortion of the devotional life. It's not that people should be afraid of Jesus, like trembling and dread fear all the time or something. But the problem with the buddy Jesus model is this. Jesus can become your buddy. Like, in the end, the goal of the Christian life is to have the Lord be your best friend, the closest relationship you have. There's no question about that. But if you start there and then like skip the part where he's also God and the maker of all things and the sustainer of everything in existence, then it's not clear why it matters that this guy is your buddy. He could just as well be your imaginary friend.
Wow.
Whereas if this is a real person who lived in a real time in a real place and has things like a mother who finished her earthly life and then was ascended into heaven, now, this is a very different thing. You're not imaginary friends with Napoleon or Julius Caesar or something like that, right? This is a living person. So he lived long ago and he lives still. And the living relationship that we have with the Lord then is what enables us to have a relationship with God. It's the reason we say at Mass, we dare to call God our Father. We don't have a right to call God our Father.
No.
We dare to do so because of our relationship in our relationship with the Lord Jesus in view of his humanity.
This is a very impressive explanation, Father, because this proximity and literally closeness with the Blessed Virgin Mary helping St. Bernard at the same time to enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ himself.
That's right. So this is the reason, right, that in the church's tradition, devotion to the Blessed Mother always goes hand in hand with devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Because the more you draw close to his humanity through the mediated experience of his family, the more the tangible presence in the Blessed Sacrament makes sense. And so you draw near there. I mean, you want to spend time with him in the sacrament because that's where he is.
The real presence of God as well.
Yeah.
Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by InterVisions Healthcare. Each fall, InterVisions Healthcare hosts a fantastic evening of food and fun with the local Knights of Columbus. Join us as we dance the night away on Saturday, September 17th at St. Luke's in Ankeny. The St. Luke's Knights are preparing a delicious dinner. All the proceeds from the dinner and auctions benefit the life-affirming work the nursing staff provides to women with unplanned pregnancies. For more information, visit ivhcare.org or give us a call today. We look forward to seeing you on September 17th as we dance for life at St. Luke's Catholic Church in Ankeny.
Matt Wilkham here from Iowa Catholic Radio. I'd like to thank you for your continued support of this apostolate. Because of you, we're reaching more souls in more ways than ever before. Whether you've had your faith strengthened by either our talk or music channels, or if you've been impacted by one of our other outreach initiatives, you experience firsthand the value Iowa Catholic Radio brings to the Catholic and Christian community. If you haven't made the decision yet to become a family member, please consider a $30 a month sustaining gift. Just visit iowacatholicradio.com and welcome to the family.
It can be easy to look at how someone is dressing or acting and judge them. But have you ever thought about how much grace is available in these situations? The next time someone makes a questionable decision, instead of judging and condemning, uphold their dignity for them. We do greater good by lifting them up in prayer and respecting their personhood than if we mentally tear them apart in our thoughts. We can uphold the dignity of others even when they are unable to recognize their own value.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. For this coming Sunday, we have a beautiful piece of the Gospel from St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 to 30.
Jesus passed through towns and villages teaching, and as he went making his way to Jerusalem, someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And he answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' And he will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father PJ, it's not amazing that this gospel describes beautifully the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our life?
Yeah, no, I mean, this
really... It's very providential, you know, because it's so magnificent how she was, and a simple one, element one, calling to an amazing and unique mission by God himself.
Yeah, Mary is the first and best example of the one who was lowly, who's been exalted, who's cast down the mighty from their thrones, but lifted the lowly, right?
In fact, we celebrate the Assumption, you know?
Right. So this ties in very, very well. And it's this kind of insight, I think, that St. Bernard had, right? That if we really grasp what Christ has done in his church, then all the desires of all the prophets are fulfilled every time we go to Mass. This is a wild thing that for thousands of years, people half a world away pined for what we have just all the time. And that what it gives us access to is the kind of privileged relationship that the Blessed Virgin had with him in his earthly life. The other bit I think that's important, right, is that you know, the question that they ask is a question a lot of people still ask today. Lord, will many be saved? And, you know, at different times in the church's history, the kind of the mood has shifted on this score, right? So there was a time, not in the early church, but like in the patristic age, where, yeah, there was a thought that like there was some, like that maybe most people would be saved or something like that. And then later, it was like, no, probably not most people, or maybe only these most people. And then you wind up in some kind of a fight over this sort of thing or whatever. But what's clear here, right, is that Jesus, who presumably knows something about all this, he doesn't want us to act as though everybody's going to be saved. He wants us to presume that it's harder so that we act the way that we should, so that it's a safer bet, as it were, if you strive to enter through the narrow gate.
And it's very interesting how you said that. It's hard, but not impossible. Mm-hmm. It's important to make a difference because I can occupy myself that it's impossible and I cannot work in today in the conversion itself as well.
That's exactly right.
A strip to enter through the narrow gate for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough.
Yeah, well, the idea there, right, is almost of someone trying to force a gate. And this is not the kind of thing that can be forced. Right. It needs to be worked with. It requires effort, but you can't edge your way in.
After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, "Lord, open the door for us." Is not a little bit crude?
Yeah, so he's using an image, which, I don't know, I think maybe if you were preaching like in Iowa today, it would be something more like, "Hey kids, remember when you tried to come in after curfew and your parents had locked the door?" Yeah, because right. That's the kind of image, right? Is that the door, this is a door to something that we know, right? But the door's already been locked. You're knocking on the door, and he's saying, "I don't know you. I don't know where you're from." Well, he clearly does know you, or he wouldn't be bothering to lock the door. But he's trying to show you that, like, lack of fidelity in these small things leads to lack of relationship in the end.
And it's very eloquent as well, the Lord, to describe that it's not easy. It's not easy, but also it's by your will. Mm-hmm. By your will. Hard decision, successful conquered as well.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, the desires of the prophets are fulfilled ultimately here, that people will come from all over the place to be part of this, but that we ultimately have it within our power to decide whether we're going to be part of him or not.
For behold, some are last will be first, and some are first will be last. Sometimes we presume that if I join on a Sunday masses frequently, I will be in the other side, and not necessarily.
Yeah, no, we treat this like a point system at a country club or something, that if I rack up enough visits that I've got like a membership card that'll get me in. That's not how this is intended to work. But the language that the Lord uses here is very, very important. People come from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Now, obviously, these are the four cardinal directions. It creates a cross. The peoples, right, from the Jewish perspective, are those who live north, south, east, or west, like not where we are. So people are coming from not us. This is important, right, because it's saying,
absolutely,
right, that not Jews are part of this too. And the reference to the south is important because very often when the Lord speaks in this way, he talks about the queen of the south, that is Sheba.
Sheba.
And of course, Sheba is the great love of Solomon in the Song of Songs. Well, in St. Bernard's preaching on this, he says, no, we've got this wrong. Sheba is a kind of an image or a metaphor for the church, exemplified most perfectly in the Blessed Virgin. And so then Sheba, yes, who, right, is basically sneaking out of her house at night to go be with Solomon, to do the things you do at night with people you sneak out your house for, that's not ultimately what the communion that we're called to is for.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's most perfectly fulfilled in the Virgin.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Approaching our very delightful Marian program this time, could you please send us with your blessing, Father?
May the passion of the Lord Jesus and the merits and the prayers of the Blessed Virgin, St. Bernard, and all the saints grant that whatever good you do or suffering you endure would heal you all your sins, help you grow in holiness, and bring you to everlasting life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.